Through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena Tim, how are you today?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well in the studio here. Sorry, I haven't even got your microphone on, Zoe. Hey.
It's fine.
How's it going?
Don't speak for Zoe. Let Zoe answer.
I'm actually having a terrible day.
Are you? Do you want to talk about it? We'll turn this into a therapy session instead of media commentary.
No, it's fine. I'm totally fine.
I would like everyone to know, not that I'm speaking for Zoe, but she is actually joking. She's having a great morning.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all.
What's going on in the media here, Tim?
The first thing, I got basically just two things today. The first thing I want to talk about is a great point that RNZ Media Watch's Hayden Burnell made recently off the back of the Sam Ufendahl story, which has sucked up, to me, shocking amount of media time, both for like the correct reasons and weird reasons. But I just think that the National Party and the Parliament, the Member of Parliament himself, have just handled this so badly.
Mm.
Like I know some people who work in crisis comms, like public relations professional, whose job it is to sort people out when bad stuff like this happens.
Yeah,
and they've just done everything wrong.
Yeah,
it's crazy. The fact that the news story just keeps rolling out every day with the new details is so bad. But anyway, look, this all started from some first-hand reporting from Stuff's Kirsty Johnson, who is, for my money, like one of the best journalists in the country. Her output is incredible. She does phenomenal work. And there's this interesting phenomenon which comes up, and it's discussed briefly every now and then in the New Zealand news media ecosystem, which is that we're actually really bad at crediting each other in
Hard
New Zealand.
Out, yeah.
Each other's work. So Hayden Donnell talked quite a lot about this, and he also brought up the Arise Church saga, where two founders of the church resigned after abuse allegations came to light after extensive investigation and reporting by David Farrier, who's totally independent now, doing his own Substack on Webworm. And the news kind of like picked up on all of this because he genuinely did, you know, create such a stir and things were really happening. But when the news reported on it, there was barely any mention whatsoever of the first-hand reporting that Farrier was doing. And it's just, it's not good, and it probably should change. And especially these days, attribution is so important because there's so much content sharing that's happening between all these outlets. The spin-off RNZ Stuff, The Herald, Newsroom, they've all got these like complicated web of censorship agreements where they can kind of publish each other's stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, apart from anything else, it's just really important for people to get the idea in their head about which of these outlets are actually doing boots on the ground investigation and reporting, because it's really resource intensive. So, you should get your flowers for that.
Mm.
And who's just doing like news commentary off the back of other people's work.
Yeah. And I saw also some, I guess, online commentary around that point about actually, you know, attributing credit where it's due also helps with the general public's trust of the media, because people understand that's where sources come from. It's not just a magic report from nowhere. This person has done this research. This is how we got this information. This is how it's come to the public's attention. And actually showing that breadcrumb trail is really significant, particularly in the world we live in now, with all sorts of weird and not so wonderful ways of accessing disinformation online and in other media spaces.
Yeah.
It's really significant to say this is who wrote this, and this is a real person, and this is their creds, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, there is such a misunderstanding and increasingly a mistrust of the news media that it is important to remind people that this is a very human process.
Totally.
And there are some really hardworking, excellent humans that are producing this information for us, of building the picture of the world around us. So,
for sure.
Props to Kirsty and to everyone else who's in the news media. You know, step your game up, folks. A tribute.
big time. Well, it's good to talk about that. What else is going on in the media, Tim?
Really interesting one from the spin-off here, that Duncan Grove, you can almost like sort of hear the venom in his as he's typing away. So interesting situation here. Ministry of Social Development have got this campaign coming up teaching young people about healthy relationships, which is cool, really cool. And they've got a budget allocation of $1.8 million per year, which in part will go towards this quote, new campaign focused on safe relationships for young people. Where this gets kind of weird and spicy is that Vice NZ used to be an outlet that existed here, mm-hmm. doesn't really anymore. At the very start of all the COVID-19 stuff, they shut up shop and actually fired everyone in their Vice NZ outfit, and they do a little bit of reporting outside of, from their Australian part of Vice.
Right.
They just advertised two roles again for the first time since 2019, Vice NZ did.
Oh, true.
And it's directly linked to the MSD campaign. And this is a really weird thing to have happen, that an outfit that fired everyone just a couple years ago, is now seeking new people to come in as a direct result of this government campaign. And it's left a really bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, no people more so than the former staff members of Vice NZ. There's a quote here that Duncan Grieve from the spin-off managed to get from an unnamed former staff member who said, "I'm surprised if government departments are dedicating substantial funding to an overseas organisation that has demonstrated no real commitment or track record for supporting long-term journalism in New Zealand, and in recent years laid off their entire team of dedicated New Zealand writers, editors and documentary makers."
Hmm.
And that's the whole thing right there. It's very strange that money would be going to an outfit which is essentially an Australian media organisation now, where we really do have some pretty good orgs around the country now. Tahi is a new outfit from RNZ that's targeting rangatahi and young people. You know, the spin-off's probably a little bit older, but there's enough organisations here, I would have thought, for MSD to throw their money at places that actually have a commitment to local news gathering and comms of this nature.
That is very interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for sure. Anything else in the big bad world of media, Tim?
There's some boring commerce commission stuff, but I don't know if it's worth getting into. The News Publishers Association, which is the collective of news publishers that want to do collective bargaining against Google and Facebook. So they've kind of been in this long... I've mentioned it a couple of times, months ago. They need to get Commerce Commission approval so that they can collectively bargain against these companies, because there's sort of like cartel considerations that need to happen. They got in April, the Commerce Commission, what's called provisionally authorised them to act as a collective to bargain against these organisations. And now it's progressing. So they've launched a preliminary view saying that they can collectively bargain. So it's just kind of more of the same.
So we'll watch that space, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. That was a weird one, but I'll get into that in a later week.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tim. Have a lovely morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.